she is. I like Paisley. I always like Paisley. It doesn't matter. Who's going to ring the bell? I don't climb the stairs. Please don't ring it that long. There's plenty of room up here. In case you were like wondering. Oh, my God.
Hello. Yes, yes. Yes, this is a substitute song leader for today. Okay, the announcements. Gail's Creek Gleaners. Sherry has asked for some help with the gleaners because she's ill, and Helen is also healing. So if you can volunteer, call Sherry, the number on the back of the bulletin. Yeah, well, anyway, she's ill. So, yeah, so we need to pray for her. And so the gleaners, they... You got to be here by 11, I think, and to get the food. So show up. And if you know anybody that needs food, then of course, let them know that that is available on Wednesdays. Prayer meeting still? Yes. Wednesdays by phone. Okay. And Zoom. Okay. What's next? Monthly potluck. Okay, shout out to Jim Evans and David McDonald that, yes, October 1st is potluck. So show up. Okay. So now it's prayer time. Okay, so let's pray. Oh, holy will of God, we come to you today and give you honor and glory. We come here to worship you, Lord, to give ourselves to you and to release our will to you. Tell us what you want us to hear, Father. Teach us what you want us to know. Give us wisdom and give us peace. Accept our love and our words and our songs. May they be a joyful noise to you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, so shall we stand? Anyone want to stand? we don't have a piano today, so we're doing acapulco.
This is the, called worship, though, first.
Oh, pardon. Okay, call to worship. Okay, Matthew 28:19-20. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commandments I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Yes. Okay, now we sing. Love lifted me. Okay. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He your savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Awesome. Okay. I will sing of my Redeemer. So Fred, if you want to sing the bottom half of that chorus, it's on page 587 in the hymnal. And Bill, okay, just a second. I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I will sing of my Redeemer and his heavenly love to me. He from death to life hath brought me, Son of God with him to be. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free.
Great. Since Jesus came into my heart, just What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Pardon me. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roar. Since Jesus came into my heart. I have ceased from my wandering and going astray. Since Jesus came into my heart. And my sins, which were many, are all washed away. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roar. Since Jesus came into my heart. I shall go there to dwell in that city I know. Since Jesus came into my heart. I am happy, so happy as onward I go. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roar. Since Jesus came into my heart.
Yeah.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. A place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet, near to the heart of God. A place where we our Savior meet, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of full release, near to the heart of God. A place where all is joy and peace, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God.
I'll get by the mic here so they hear me. A prayer thought. Have you ever wondered what it'd be like if we didn't have our God that we could go to when we're hurting or just want to praise Him? As we're giving back just small what He gives us so freely. God, we just thank You this day, Lord. Bless the giver. Bless the joyful giver. And may we give back so freely. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, I'm going to jump right into praises and prayer. We don't have our kiddos here today, and Ivan and Sarah really need prayer. Need major prayer with Claire and their whole family situation. This is not, this illness that they have is not fun to have. It's affects all of you, and we want to really pray that God just protects them, place a hedge of protection around them, and really just, they don't need any more sick ones. This is a contagious bug that she has. And so we need to really pray for those that go over to the house and just help, you know. Stay away, germs. All right. I've been busy writing down a list. And I'm not playing Santa Claus. I'm not checking it twice or anything like that. But I was blessed. I asked Jeremy if he wants to go with me up to see the sidewalk chalk art. And he didn't want to. But I took pictures. I shared them with Pastor Teresa. And there's like four or five different places where they actually took the time to write out a Bible verse. And I thought, whoa, this is really cool. And there's people even wrote, I came to save you, Jesus. It was just inspiring. And here these people did this out in the sun, that hot sun yesterday. But if you want to, I urge you go see it because it hasn't rained and the artwork is just really, really good. It's really something to see. And there's like 300 different drawings of various different things. Some kind of weird, but some really good stuff. The location is Main Street and Forest Grove. Main Street and Pacific. And that other street, what is it? That'd be 19th Pacific and College Way and 20th Street. But come to think about, there's nothing on 19th, but there is on Main. So anyway, I was really blessed by that. And I wanted to share that blessing. Is there anyone else that wanted to share any praises or anything? Yes, Pastor Teresa.
Yeah.
Yes. Praise the Lord. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yes. Pastor Teresa had shared a praise that her son is traveling Europe and doing really good. Having a wonderful experience and time doing God's ministry in Europe. Wow, that'd be exciting, wouldn't it? And she shared that she got to talk to him last night and then again this morning. So that's really cool. That's really cool. And they didn't have to worry about jet lag or anything, right? And she shared, need to lift up, you heard earlier how Helen and Sherry have worked so diligently with the food ministry. We want to lift both of them up, their health issues with Helen's eyes and Sherry with some other things going on. So we want to lift them up. And also Vicki Nichols, lift Vicki Nichols up in prayer. And Carolyn and Wink and Phyllis. And I have them here in my list. Yes, I do. Okay. Oh, lift up. Yes, Kim. Praise the Lord. That's right. Kim shared with Mike's all done with radiation, and we would just praise God for that. And what's that, Kim? And he's not glowing. So she doesn't have to, she has to look harder now to find him at night. And so we want to be praising God that, yeah, she said, I can't use him for a nightlight. So anyway, we just want to be praising God that for that and asking for Mike's energy to come back. I'm trying to do this. Fast here. Oh, go ahead, Kim. Caden. Okay. Kim also shared that her son, their son, Tatum. Tatum just finished truck school, driving school. Okay, in truck school, and now he's looking for a job, right? Okay. Absolutely. Jeremy and I have a request. Our request is for our son,
Okay. My cousin Kara is going to have a baby girl.
That's a praise, yeah. And Jeremy, do you know when? He says, no, ask mom. So, but anyway, Kara and her husband, Ikai, were in Switzerland. Trying to think what school, Oxford. And he is a physicist, and he's very, very bright, very bright. But now he's in England. And so, anyway, Jeremy and I, we have a prayer request. We're just concerned about Jeremy's brother, Ryan. We want to just lift up Ryan, that Ryan makes the right choices. And we're not going to go any further than that. We're just going to put it in God's hands, okay, please? All right. Any others? Yeah. We get a lot of children. Yes. Amen. Amen. All right. Father God, we are just so truly blessed by you. Wonderful day, wonderful weather. It's cooled off. We want to give you praise, God. We want to give you the praise that our women are at the retreat. Three of the gals, Judy, I can't even remember names right now, Lori and my wife, Donna. Boy, I better remember her name, right, God? I just want to praise you, Lord, that they can be there, Lord. Give them the strength. Give them travel mercies, all the gals and the husbands and families that we're praying for them to have a wonderful top of the mountain experience with you, Jesus. Amen for that. God, I just can't stop praising you for the wonderful experiences that you've blessed me with. Blessed this little church here in Gilsbrook with a wonderful pastor of Teresa, Lord, how she ministers unto us and ministers through your word to each one of us. Lifts up Debbie, God. God, thank you, Lord. Lifts up Susie. Amen. Lifts up Linda, Lord. Lifts up Fred and Carolyn. God, just be with Carolyn as she's fighting whatever she's always fighting. She just, God, help her not be depressed, Lord. Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for touching Scott, that Scott's here, God. God, we just praise you, Almighty God, that you touch Kim and Mike, God. Just praising you that he's through the radiation and he's not glowing anymore at night. We just will give you the honor right there. But we're praising the name of Jesus that you touch him and give him his strength back right now, Father God. Father God, we pray you, praise you, Lord, for Josh, who's with Special Olympics right now, Father. Father God, we pray, O Lord, that you touch Ivan and Sarah and Claire, Lord, with the situation that they have with Claire. Just be with them, God. Protect that little child. Protect that home. Place your angels of protection around that family. Fight off that curse, God. God, we pray, Almighty God, in the name of Jesus, that you touch Rhonda, Lord, and be with Rhonda's father, Lord. Be with Carol Baker, God. Be with Dan and Marie. God, we're just so excited that Marie is feeling better finally. She's giggling. She's telling stories. And we're just praising God that you've done that. But please, Lord, we're also still asking for prayer, Lord. Lord, we pray, Almighty God, that you be with Lori Cooper. And she's doing better, too. We want to just give you the praise, Lord. Lord, be with Gene Scratchers as he's with his father back in Idaho, traveling mercies back home, Lord. Be with them, Lord. Lord, we praise you, Lord, with the blessings that you blessed us with Wink and Phyllis, Lord. Touch Wink's eyes. Heal him in a mighty way that we claim the victory in you, God. Be with Vicki Nichols, Lord. Give her the strength she needs, Father God. We pray for our son, Ryan. Give him strength, Lord, in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. And all his wonderful people said, amen.
Praise the Lord. God is good. Yes. All of the time. Not just... That's right. And all the time, God is good. He's not just good on Sundays or Mondays or Tuesdays.
And not only in the good times.
Thank you, Sister Linda. God is still good when we are stressed, right? When we actually don't know what to do, when we feel depressed, and when we're sad, all the things, he's still good. And so we rejoice, and we lift up his holy name, and we thank God for that. Thank you, Brother Bill, for leading us in prayer and for remembering all of the saints. We actually have the privilege of being able to pray for one another. Amen. So thank God for that. And thank you all for those who are so faithful to come and to participate
and share your gifting and your love with the body of Christ here at Gales Creek. Good morning. For those of you who are online, welcome to our service again. We're still in the book of Romans. We are learning practical ways to live out our faith. Now, I went to seminary. Seminary is for those who really want to think about the Bible in a theological way, in a more scientific way. And it's great for those who want to do that. But for everyday people, we don't need theology. We need to be able to read the Bible and understand it and practice it in our daily lives. So it's not just theory, it's actual practice. And that's what you find in the book of Romans. Paul says to the people, yes, it's all of these things. And this is how it should show up in your life because you believe. So Paul writes to the churches in Rome, sharing very practical ways of how to show others that they believe in the risen Christ. He reminds the reader that God did the heavy lifting. Remember, we talked about that a few Sundays back. God did all of the heavy lifting in order to save us. He did all the work. We need to believe and receive and walk therein. He did the heavy lifting for us. And so Paul says, because God did that heavy lifting, it's only reasonable to respond to his holiness by being holy in our hearts and in our minds. And so our practical service to him should also show up in our physical bodies, right? In our physical bodies, we are to be holy. And that's how we become living sacrifices to God. Last week, he taught us that as long as we live, we will always owe others our godly love. As long as you're living, that's what you owe the people around you, the love that God has placed in your heart. And it doesn't matter who that person is, where they come from, how they dress, their education level, all the things, we owe every single living human being love. If we truly believe in God and we're in right relationship with him, then we owe others his love, and we should seek ways to demonstrate it, not to keep it to ourselves. Which reminds me, incidentally, last week, remember we had a challenge. We had a couple of challenges, actually, before we left last Sunday. The first one was to identify a person that you could actually demonstrate God's love to and then find a way to do it. And then the other challenge was to find at least one way to dress in Christ. Because remember, it's kind of hard to love people when you don't, if you're not dressed in Christ. So I want to just give you 2 minutes. Talk to your pew neighbor. How did that work out? Did you identify one person? Did you do something? So let's take a moment, turn to the people next to you, and share. How did that go? So yeah, so Susie and Linda get to work together. Okay, we have a little less than a minute. If the other person hasn't been able to share, allow your partner to share. Okay. Finish that final thought. And thank you. Thank you for sharing with your pew partner. Hopefully you were able to hear, that's one way I could do it. And let's build this muscle of loving the people around us, including the difficult ones. I am praying right now for one of my coworkers because they are being difficult at work. And I thought to myself, well now, Lord, ain't this something? Here I was. I had just prayed for him and me, actually. And God was saying to me how I needed to change. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do better. So then the following week, he acted a complete fool. I was like, oh, what are we doing? And then I realized, oh, the devil was eavesdropping. He knows my desire to actually make repair with him, with my coworker, and hopefully lead him to Christ. So he's putting a little wedge in between us. And I'm like, oh, devil. I see you coming. So I thank God for his Holy Spirit to help me change instead of me being judgmental. And why are you doing these things? I'm like, how can I show him love? Because that's what's going to win him over. Not me trying to prove that I'm right, but me being humble and hoping that I can gain his trust and we can build relationship and get the work done. So thank you for sharing with your partners, and may God bless us as we continue to grow in him, become more and more like him. Today's focus is on how to live in harmony with other believers. Now, God does want us to live in harmony with those who do not believe, such as my coworker, right? But he also expects us first. If you can't get along with your brothers and sisters, your siblings in Christ, you're going to have problems, Brother Bill. There's really no hope for you to get along with the rest of the people who don't name the name of God. How is that going to happen? So Paul, again, being very practical, says, listen, dear ones. We need to strive to be in harmony with one another. So, read with me from Romans chapter 14. We're going to read 19 verses, whichever translation you prefer. I'm going to be sharing from the New Living Translation. Here's the word of God. This is Paul, again, speaking to the churches that are scattered throughout Rome. Accept other believers who are weak in faith and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. For instance, one person believes it's all right to eat anything. That would be me. But another believer with a sensitive conscience will only eat vegetables. Those who feel free to eat anything must not look down on those who don't. And those who don't eat certain foods must not condemn those who do. Why? Because God has accepted them. Who are you to condemn someone else's servants? Their own master will judge whether they stand or fall. And with the Lord's help, they will stand and receive his approval. In the same way, some think one day is more holy than another day, while others think every day is alike. You should each be fully convinced that whichever day you choose is acceptable. Huh? How can that be, Paul? Listen to what he says. Those who worship the Lord on a special day do it to honor him. Those who eat any kind of food do so to honor the Lord, since they give thanks to God before eating. And those who refuse to eat certain foods also want to please the Lord and give thanks to God. For we don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it's to honor the Lord. And if we die, It's to honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Christ died and rose again for this very purpose, to be Lord both of the living and of the dead. So why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For the scriptures say this, "As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bend to me, and every tongue will declare allegiance to God." Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. So let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. I know and am convinced on the authority of the Lord Jesus that no food in and of itself is wrong to eat. Amen. Praise the Lord. I like cupcakes. But if someone believes it is wrong, then for that person, it's wrong. And if another believer is distressed by what you eat, you are not acting in love if you eat it. So don't let your eating ruin someone for whom Christ died. Wow. Listen to what he says, verse 16. Then you will not be criticized for doing something you believe is good. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God. And others will approve of you too. So listen to his final statement of this argument. So then, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. Somebody say amen. Amen to God's holy word. Now, as I read this passage, I must admit, I felt vindicated. Yes. But then also convicted. Because I was like, yes, tell those crazies to stop telling me what to do and trying to make me feel bad because I don't eat like them. I like meat. Well, you know, you really shouldn't eat red meat. Whatever. I like red meat. I don't make you feel bad because you like to eat vegetables. So why are you trying to make me feel bad about eating meat? That's how I felt. And then a nice, quiet, still voice said, and you have to stop judging others too. I was like, what? Who, me? I'm always nice to people, Sister Debbie. What are you saying? And then, you know, God is actually the one who invented the side eye, Sister Susie. It wasn't us. It was God. The Holy Spirit just gave me the side eye. I was like, really? Really, T? You going to make me say it? Really? Are you not judgmental all the time? And then I was like, well, I mean, most of the time, I changed my statement. So I was happy to hear it, and yet, just a little sting, ouch. I need to change and do better. And that's what God is asking from us, right? To do a little bit better. This passage is for all of us who believe we know the right answer for all the things, and other people should just be like us. So there. And Paul says two words that I really, really like. Stop it. Just stop. Stop. Stop judging others by your standards. You don't have the right to judge God's servants. Only he does. And it's hard. Because I've been knowing Jesus a long time, so I know what Jesus is talking about. I know. I understand. So if y'all would just act like me, but Jesus is like, no, baby, I don't need them to act like you. I need them to act like me. Right, because he's the standard. So does that mean other Christians get to act however they want? No, not exactly. All believers must demonstrate their belief by how they live. If they are not in right relationship with God, then they will not be in right relationship with humans. It's really hard. I'm telling you, if you don't already know this for yourself, if you don't have the love of God in your heart, it is going to be hard to love the human beings around you. So that's the litmus test. God is saying, if you truly believe in me, you're going to be in right relationship with me. And if you're in right relationship with me, guess what? You're going to do right by the human beings around you. You cannot love God and hate human beings around you. John the disciple tells us this in 1 John 4. You know, if you remember that song from Vacation Bible School and Sunday School, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Okay. Part of verse 7 and verse 8, I'll read to you just in case you didn't grow up in Bible school or Sunday school. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But listen to what he says. But anyone who does not love does not know God. Why do you say that, John? Because God is love. Mic drop. God is love. So if you're going around hating folks, you better think twice, because you cannot know God and not love people. So all believers know the two greatest commandments: love God, love others. So if we cannot manage those two rules of engagement, then we cannot say that we truly believe in God. To believe in God means to love him and to love other people. And this, you know, if you remember, this is part of our conversation from last week, actually, right? When we love God, his love overwhelms us and helps us to love others. So now, while loving others, we make room for accepting them as they are. Why? Because that's how God accepted us. He didn't say, oh, you got to get cleaned up, you got to take a shower and get your hair done and get your nails done, and then you'll be acceptable. No, you came to him just as you were, and he accepted you. And this is our test. As believers, we need to do the very same thing. Stop trying to make people change. We need to accept them, love them. Why? Because they are created in the image of God and they are fellow believers. We don't make them pay dues. We don't make them change their outfits so that they can fit in and be with us. That's not what we do. We love them right as they are, because God loved us the very same way. We don't get to convict others as if we know their hearts, because that's the other thing that happens for us too often. As religious people, people who go to church, people who claim to know God, we think because we know the scripture, we can now tell everybody else what they need to be doing so that they are living right before God. And God, again, stop it. It's not your job. You are not the Holy Spirit. Cut it out. We actually do not have the right to do that. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict others, because the Holy Spirit knows people's hearts. We don't. We can look at their actions. That's all we can see. But it's really God who knows the heart. And this is why we don't get to judge each other. I know. Someone is still out there saying, yeah, but loving others doesn't mean we let others do whatever they want. I agree wholeheartedly with that. They don't get to just do whatever they want. Absolutely not. We have to distinguish, therefore, between judging others and holding one another accountable. And people, let me tell you, this often comes up in our Christian community. What's the difference between judging someone and holding people accountable? Because they think it's the same thing. No, it's not. Those are two different things. Judging others is what Paul is teaching against. Judging is when we want to hold others accountable to our personal expectations and our rules. We're not necessarily aligning our wishes with those of God. Most times, not all, but most times, we are replacing God and acting like we have the heaven or the hell to put people in. And let me correct that thought. You don't. You didn't die for nobody to save them. You don't have a heaven or a hell to put them in. Stop it. Just stop. And that's the danger of thinking we're holier than what we really are. Remember what Paul said? He said, for notice, just stop thinking you're all that in a bag of chips. Just stop. Now, you are not the worst thing ever on the planet, but you are also not the best thing that ever happened to humanity. Stop acting like you're all that, because that's where judgment comes from. I'm really holy. You're not. You're less than. And so therefore, right? You're trying to be God. No. God, there's only one God, and none of us are it. None of us. So no matter how holy and righteous we become, and again, I've been with Jesus pretty much all my life. I'm 52. I've been with him a long time, right? So in my head, I'm righteous. I'm actually living what God wants me to do. But that doesn't mean I get to turn around and tell other people how they're not doing it right. We will never be as holy and righteous as God himself. We're just not, because we're human beings. We have sin nature. That's what happens to us. So therefore, it is God who is the standard. I wish I had time to tell you all the verses that have to do with it, because it begins in the Old Testament. God says to the people, this is the plumb line. And if you know anything about construction, you know things have to be correct, flat, and straight, or else your building won't stand correctly, right? So he says, I am the plumb line, not you crazies, because all your holy and righteousness is right here. God is way up here. He's the standard. Praise the Lord for that. So this is why we need to stop comparing ourselves to other people and trying to keep up with others. What did God tell you to do? Read your word. Know the word of God so you can stop trying to live up to somebody else's expectations and live up to what God says he wants. And for those who insist that you're holding others accountable to God's standards by pointing out their flaws, you are incorrect. I remind you again, we are not the Holy Spirit and should not attempt to replace the Spirit. It's the Spirit's job to convict others. He has a wonderful way of not embarrassing us when we make mistakes. When the Spirit teaches us, he does it in a way we as individuals can understand. He is patient with us and doesn't give up on us just because we are slow to change. Praise God for that. Now, other human beings, we're going to get tired of you after a while. Now, didn't I tell you, Brother Scott, enter in this door, and we're going to exit out that side, and then here comes Brother Scott entering through the exit. We won't forgive him the first time, maybe the second time or the third, but let him do it a fourth and a fifth and a sixth. Right, we're going to try to excommunicate a brother. Just because he's coming in through the one door, you know, wait, exactly. Well, wait a minute. But this is what we do as human beings. We start setting up all these rules and we're trying to say it's from God. Hey, exit. What are you even saying right now? No, that has nothing to do with serving God. But we act like it is. And we get mad real quick. No, 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 and no. You are not pointing out other people's flaws because you're trying to help Jesus. Jesus don't need your help in that way. No, nope. He don't need your help in that way. So stop it. Now, let's talk about accountability. We know what it feels like to be judged by others, and most of us have good practice at doing it. But let's talk about accountability. What does that look like? Accountability, on the other hand, is obligatory if we are going to live peaceably with the other people around us, particularly those brothers and sisters, our siblings in Christ. Because in this passage, that's what he's saying. Live peaceably with each other. Build each other up. How do we do that? We have to practice accountability. And notice I said other believers, because again, this is what this particular scripture is talking about. We cannot hold the world accountable to God's standards. And this is what we see getting played out in our country right now. We have a lot of Christians trying to tell the world what they can't do, and you don't have a right to do that. It's like, yeah, they actually do, because they don't believe in the same God that you do. So stop that. Stop trying to tell non-Christians what they should be doing, how they should vote, and what they have rights to. Because no, it's a waste of time. You're casting your pearls to the swine. Jesus said, don't do that. You cannot expect people who do not believe in God to actually want to believe in God when you're standing outside their house with a picket sign. What in the world? What in the world? When did Jesus do that? Look through your stories. You ain't going to find it happening. Just stop. Stop. Stop trying to hold non-believers accountable and focus on holding believers accountable to God's standards. The world does not acknowledge God and does not believe that God is the Almighty. Therefore, yelling at them, telling them they're going to hell, is not a form of accountability. It's something else, but it ain't accountability. You can only hold accountable people who know the rules and actually want to uphold the community agreements. Accountability is for those who are in relationship with you, right? We're not in relationship with unbelievers. So again, stop it, because you're either holding them accountable, which you cannot since they don't believe the same things that we do, or you're judging them. So yeah, no, stop that. Stop that. We're not in relationship with those. We are, however, in community with other believers. So let me tell you what accountability can look like. It can look something like this. It's not the end all be all, but it's something like this. This is an example. Hey, sister or brother so-and-so, we all agreed that we would enter this side and we would exit that side. Remember when we talked about that? Okay. So that's either based on the decisions that we made as a group. It actually could be a Bible verse, right? So then you say to the person, we have some witnesses that say you've been doing X, Y, Z. We've actually talked about doing A, B, and C, but you're doing X, Y, Z. Can we talk about this? We really want to make sure that we're on the same page, right? It's accountability. You're bringing them in to have conversation, not, no, she didn't walk up in here dressed like that. We need to have one of the ushers escort her out because that's just unacceptable. Yep. Oh, yeah, I know. Sister Susan says, I've seen that. Yeah, if you've been in the church long enough, you probably have seen it. I know I have. Again, us being trying to be righteous, super holy, Jesus is saying, no, thank you. I need people to come to me. You shouldn't be keeping them away from me. Bring the issue to your brother and sister in Christ in love, with respect. Yes. Not, I saw you doing this one thing and you going to hell for that because you know Jesus ain't going to forgive you. What? First of all of our sins are forgiven, so stop saying that. And they're not going to go to hell because of that one thing. Stop it. Lies. That's your self-righteousness bubbling up. One way to distinguish between judging and accountability is to just do a self-assessment. Look into your own heart. Again, stop trying to assess others. Do it for your own self. Ask yourself, why are you feeling and thinking the way you are? Are you looking to be proven right? Are you genuinely concerned for the other person? Is your argument based on scripture or tradition or maybe personal preference? Makes a difference, right? Because if it's personal preference, probably should leave it alone. So I might eat my cupcakes and meat. Thank you very much. So, you know, are you genuinely concerned? Because if you are, you're going to pray about it. The Holy Spirit's going to move in your heart to give you the right words, right? He's going to work in their heart so that they can receive and be held accountable. So again, you think, oh, Pastor Jesus is out there talking. No, let's go back to the scripture, because this is actually what Paul says. Go back to verses 7 and 8. For we do not live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it's to honor the Lord. And if we die, it is to honor the Lord. So it's not my church, it's not your church, it's God's church. And we belong to each other, and that's why we are accountable to one another. And this is why Paul says, strive to live the way of harmony. Because this is what we're supposed to do. We get to love each other and build each other up, not tear each other down with pettiness that has absolutely nothing to do with salvation. Nothing. You don't live unto yourself, and you don't die unto yourself. You belong to God, and you belong to the family of God. So we live for each other. So a reminder, if your motivation is self-serving, for example, you'll win the argument and you'll look good, then you're judging others. If your motivation is from a place of godly love, then God will show you how and when to approach the other person in love. The Spirit will give you the words to say, and you will be able to speak in a humble way when you say it. Why? Because God wants us to speak the truth in love. That's what Scripture teaches us. Be truthful. But say it in a loving and kind way, like you actually care about the other person. I can tell you the truth, but I don't have to be pretty about it. I don't have to be nice about it. And God's saying, yeah, no, we don't do that with other believers. You're going to speak the truth, and you speak it in love. You find a nice way to say it. It's still the truth, but it's spoken in love so that it can actually be received by the hearer. Why do we do that? Because, as we learn from 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, God is love. God is also truth. So we must take great responsibility not to misrepresent him with our own version of the truth. Amen? We must remember, we believers all belong to God. We live for him and not for ourselves. And there's more to the list of how to live the way of harmony with other believers. That first one was distinguishing between judging and accountability, doing things in love, right? But Paul also offers a couple of other ways of being, so that we can avoid the pitfall of judging others and quarreling with one another. He advises us to simply stop bickering about food and drink and holy days, and instead focus on how we can pursue, listen to these three words, God's goodness, God's joy, and God's peace. He advises us to try not to be a stumbling block for others, and to instead build each other up. It's so deep what he's saying. and he's saying it in such a simple way. Instead of, remember, scripture tells us this, even Jesus said it himself, stop worrying about those 10 commandments of not, 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 don't, because I've set you free to do. And what is it I want you to do? Those three words are just examples of it, right? What's God's goodness? What's God's joy about? What's God's peace about? Because if you do those things, guess what? You won't have to worry about the don'ts. You just won't. It's going to resolve all of that. Because that's the way love works. It's the way love works. So Pastor Teresa, now, are you saying I don't get to tell people what to wear, what to eat and drink, or how to spend their Sabbath? That is correct. that is correct. I'm telling you that. Stop that. So stop worrying about their tattoos, the color of their hair, because I've had people ask me that. Well, can you be a Christian and have tattoos? Yes, because your salvation doesn't depend on how many tattoos you have or do not have. It has nothing to do with your salvation. Okay, just stop that. Yeah, there might be some tattoos you just don't want. May not be, it may, what were Paul's words? It may not be wise, right? But it doesn't have anything to do with your salvation. So we need to be wise, but again, who's keeping count of that? Unless you're petty and trying to be the Holy Spirit and tell other people not to get tattoos. It's like, stop that. Stop worrying about what they eat or drink. They can drink alcohol. If they dance, like, woof. Now, there are still some holiness folks who'll be like, girl, what you doing? Why are you dancing? Okay? Don't be listening to that secular music. That's the devil music. If you've mixed linens and are wearing cotton to blend, Old Testament says you ain't supposed to be doing that. But your salvation doesn't depend on that. So again, stop that. Don't worry about my skirt being short. Don't worry about it. Right? Because Jesus still loves me. Even in my short skirt, Jesus still loves me. None of those things have anything to do with our salvation. And if people believe in God and his Messiah, then they are your sibling in Christ. End. Period. They are our siblings in Christ. Our job is to focus on doing what Christ did. Seek that which is lost. You don't need to argue with fellow believers. You need to go out into the world and get the non-believers to know who God is. This is why he asks us to shine our lights. This is why he teaches us to be salt in this light world. Seek to fulfill the words of Jesus in Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verses 35 through 40, gives us just a synopsis of just a short list of the good things that we can be focusing on rather than judging other people. Listen to what Jesus said. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink or a stranger and show you hospitality or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. Those are the things we should be focusing on doing rather than telling people what they cannot do. We should be focusing on building each other up. We encourage each other in Christ to operate in the gifting God has granted us. We provide opportunities for our siblings to use their gifts in our body, right? This is what we're supposed to be doing. Why? Because we know God gave us gifts to give him glory. We pray for one another and we check in on each other. We serve each other. That's what the body of Christ does. We encourage our siblings in the Lord to continue to do the good works that God has designed for us, and we help each other not to give up. Well, what are those good works that God has designed? Well, there's a list. Outside of the list that Jesus gave, there's another list in the passage that we just read. Feeding the hungry, right, represents those with food insecurities. We have that ministry gleaners that happens. Taking care of the low income. Take care of strangers. Now, the Old Testament, when you go back to the Old Testament, refers to the strangers of the New Testament as foreigners in your land. There's lots of times when God tells the people how to treat the foreigners in their lands, which means today for us, immigrants, those seeking asylum in our land, including those who are undocumented, right? We shouldn't be trying to build borders to keep people out. You're supposed to be taking care of the people who actually cross the border. Because why? Because that's what God told you to do. Now, so if you're such a good Christian, guess what you need to be doing? You need to be focusing on that instead of trying to stop people from doing. Yep, I said it. Clothe the naked. That represents the people who are homeless, people who are houseless. One paycheck could destroy your ability to be in a house. Have mercy on those around you. Care for people. Instead of judging and saying, they should just get a job. They should just do this. They should just do that. You should just pray. You should go help. Be helpful. Instead of judging people about things you don't even know. You don't know their situation. You don't know what's happening in their world. Stop judging and go and do what Jesus told you to do. Minister to those in prison. Visit the sick. Simple things that we can do to show our love, not only for the others in the body of Christ, but for the world at large, who we are supposed to be witnesses to. There's no don'ts in here. There's no don'ts. There's no list of don'ts in there. It's about doing, living that love that God has given you. The Apostle Paul said a lot in those verses we just read. But let's not forget the main takeaway, which is to seek the way of harmony with our fellow believers. To do this, we must do the good works that God has planned for us to do and find ways to build each other up, to encourage each other, to stop judging others by our standards as if we were actually God. When we focus on doing and being like God, we have very little time to judge others and worry about what they're eating, drinking, the number of Bible studies they're participating in or not participating in, how they're working out their soul salvation. We just give up that time spent and wasted on that. And we instead focus on what God has actually asked us to do. When we focus on doing and being like God, we have very little time for judging others. We must seek to live in harmony with others, with the saints of God particularly, so they will see our witness of how we love each other, and then they'll want to join us because they know how much we care and extend love and grace and kindness to one another. We owe it to God, and we owe God's love to our siblings in Christ. Let's pray. Holy God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Sometimes when we read it and we hear it, we just have to say, ouch. But we thank you nonetheless, because you are growing us up in you. You are maturing us so that we become stronger in you, so that when the enemy of our souls rises up against us with lies and with hate and with sorrow and sadness, we know that we can stand firm on your holy word to guide us, to keep on keeping on, to build each other up as we are built up our own selves in Christ Jesus. Thank you, God, for that privilege to be able to take care of our siblings in Christ. Help us, God, to do that. Forgive us. Please, please, please. Forgive us when we judge others. It's so easy to do, God. It's so easy. Forgive us when we do it. Help us to be brave and to be bold enough to hold others accountable who know the name of Christ. And when others seek to hold us accountable, help us to be humble, Lord Jesus, and to receive what they have to share with us. We thank you, God. We really do want to live harmoniously with one another so that our lights shine brighter, that our salt is salty, 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 because the world needs us. We thank you, God. In your holy name we pray it. Amen. All right, I'm going to turn it over to our praise team, Sister Linda and Sister Susie, for a closing song, and then I'll come back with the benediction.
Great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
That's a beautiful song to end on. Great is God's faithfulness to us. So let those words resonate with you this week. Great is his faithfulness. And my prayer for us is that we will be faithful to him. Faithful in all the things that we know about Jesus, what we know about God. Not focusing on the don'ts, but focusing on the do's. How can we better love others around us? How can we just really shine our lights brighter and brighter? We want to be salty, not in a bad way, but in a good way. The salt that preserves, the salt that saves. So go, my dear brothers, my dear sisters, my siblings in Christ, knowing that God is with you. When we depart from this place, he's still with us because great is his faithfulness. Rely on that. Know this, his Holy Spirit is with you to empower you, to give you love for others around us. Peace be with you.